Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where we're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We are recorded today. We are not live in the downtown studios because Barbecue Bob and I are going to be cooking a little chili. And as you listen to this, we're probably elbow deep into the smoker, getting our ingredients ready, because from 11 to 4 today, we'll be serving chili at the Ada Chili and Beer Festival. More to come about that. But so we are recording here in the middle of the week, but hope you're having a good weekend and getting it kicked off. I'm Jop, and he is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop. And thanks for taking a little time to join us this morning. It is Pearl Harbor Day, and if you're listening on a Saturday, that is, which is just an incredibly significant date, very much like 9/11. America was attacked. I was stationed right next to Pearl Harbor long after that, of course, but I got to see some of the buildings that they left up, Jop, that had the bullet holes in them.
Right.
And I did my very first solo flight off of Ford Island, which is right in the middle of Pearl Harbor. And as I took off, I banked right, and I looked down, and I saw the sunken hulls of these giant ships.
Sure.
You can see them when you're flying
right, yep,
over.
I've been there, and I've spent time. I wasn't in real time like you, but I've spent time from the shore looking
right.
at that stuff as a tourist.
As you fly over it, if the water's calm and everything, I mean, you can literally, it just all unveils itself, and it's pretty sad, actually.
Right, but awe-inspiring.
Yeah.
Because we rebounded from it, right?
We did.
Yeah.
We did, thanks to a lot of courageous people who served and
My dad was one of them. He was in World War II. Yep.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So it is Pearl Harbor Day, so we're gonna kind of take you on a little tour of Hawaii and do some of the things that they celebrate in Hawaii and some of the foods they make. And I was fortunate enough to be there for 4 years, and being a food lover, really got into the local cuisine.
Sure.
Some did, some didn't. I did. Just, I don't know why.
Well,
I'm curious, I guess.
Well, yeah.
I really embraced the community. I got a lot of local friends and a lot of civilians we worked with. They took me home for the weekends and stuff, and I just really loved their culture.
Don't feed the neighbor's dog because he won't go home.
So that's how you, when you're visiting an area, that's why bed and breakfast are so nice if you're traveling the world, because you get to stay with people and not a corporation.
Right, right.
So as we record this, my daughter Maggie's in the hospital in labor. And little Genevieve is trying desperately to come into the world.
Oh, is that going
to
be her name?
Yes.
They did a name reveal before she's born, huh?
Yep.
How nice.
She's trying to come into the world.
Right. Well, hopefully we're done recording and you can go over there and be part of that.
And it's awesome. A busy day for us because at 5 o'clock we're serving 20, 30, who knows how many people at Allen Bob's.
Right, yeah. It's going to be old news by the time you hear this. But on Thursday, which is when we're recording this, we're headed down there. They had their ice night on Thursday, and big education on ice fishing.
We do it every year.
We do it every year, and we did a little cooking out back with some fish and some burgers.
Yep.
So it's all good. But so little Genevieve is going to be your third grandchild, third granddaughter, but it's the daughters that are having the baby. So
they're the two oldest.
Right.
Yep.
So there's no Nurmico lineage being carried on yet.
Not
yet. You got hope from the boys.
Yeah.
Well, maybe and the girls, too. Well, no, won't be the girls, so got hope
both,
from the boys.
Yeah, they're both going to be gone for the next year and a half. Alex deploys, and Jordan will head off to Air Force training, which is going to take him a year.
Right.
So he's going into a program that's highly confidential and takes a ton of schooling, and he's not that bright.
Yeah, right. Not really. I think he did pretty well in school. But
yeah, so I have to say that since our last show, Rob Russell did pass away, and it's been for me awful because I missed the guy, just not being able to see him when I wanted to anyway, but then not seeing him in the last year, and then having him pass away made it so much worse. I have so much remorse in not, you know, somehow being more on top of it and just thinking of what a nice guy he was and all the great times we had and then it's just been awful.
Well, and he was a guy that would never stop giving.
Right.
You know, I mean, you could ask him to do anything to help you anywhere, and he was there. If he could make it, he did it. And he even taught me, I mean, the few times, the half a dozen times I was able to spend time with him, you traveled all over the country with him. But he taught me a lot, you know, and you'd ask him a question, and he was, you know, from Kansas, and he had a little bit of a drawl.
He had an Ozark kind of
action. And he was slow to respond. You never heard him rattle off anything. It was always well thought out and
it's because he measured everything by the air.
Right, yeah, exactly. But what a gentleman, and what a just a true friend.
And he had a ton of friends, too.
Right.
I mean, he did so much for so many people.
Yep.
He was always giving, always giving.
Yeah.
And
We're going to miss him. He was one of our charter members of what we call our board of directors here at the Grilling Guys. Those are just advisors that listen to our show regularly, and they offer us advice and they offer us counsel to try to make this little thing we do just a little bit better.
Right.
And he was another guy that every time we called him, he made time to be on the show.
Well, and here's how this went. So I got the call, and then we have a bunch of mutual friends.
Sure.
Which I have also enlisted for help on the show. I had to call T. Gidd.
Right.
I had to call Danny Skiff. And Tony Courthouse,
right,
and all these guys that I believe I've had on the show.
Before. Oh, all of
we've
them
had
been
on the show,
yeah, sure.
And goodness sakes, Joan and Jim from Smoke and Fire out in Kansas City,
yeah,
biggest barbecue shop in Kansas City. I've been in touch with Joan. Rob introduced me to her. Rob introduced me to Dick Vermeil. He introduced me to so many people that have become friends, and we've used them on the show because of their barbecue connections.
Right. They're smart.
Yeah.
They're smart people.
So
sure.
Rob had a significant impact on us, and I had, I guess, just a lot of times when I didn't know what to do because the sadness was just gripping me, and I typically am not so prone to that, but this really affected me.
Sure. Well, you know what? Godspeed, Rod. And we're going to miss you, brother. And I know you're in a better place. The suffering's done. And you're up there. You're still going to influence this show. And maybe
yep.
opportunity now and then we'll play a little clip where Rob was on the show before. But right now we're gonna let him rest.
Yep.
So anyway, good enough. So Bob, we're going to be talking about Pearl Harbor type food, which a lot of that is fish.
Hawaiian.
But it's Hawaiian-type food. And, you know, there's a variety of I don't think steelhead are out there, but we're going to start
well,
with a little sashimi.
Yeah, they use salmon
right.
but or tuna. My right. favorite sashimi is from tuna. But I'll tell you a big thing that they do is called kalua pig.
Right.
And when you have a luau, we would call it barbecued pork, but it's not smoky. It's you dig a pit, you build a fire in it, you throw stones on the fire, and we should talk about that a little bit as we come up because it's a cool process.
All right. Well, hey, it's the weekend. Get out your kalua, and we're going to pig out. Stick with us. We'll be back.
The Grilling Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to fennvalley.com.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Teas, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we are not live. We are recording from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. But we're recording because a little bit later in the show, I'm going to talk about a chili cook-off and beer festival that Bob and I are in on Saturday, the day you're listening to this, if you're listening to it on Saturday, the 7th. And we'll cover that in a minute. But, Bob, we were talking about Pearl Harbor Day, Saturday, the 7th, and It took us down the road to maybe some kind of Hawaiian food. You spent some years there in the military.
Right.
Must have been rough duty being in Hawaii for 4 years, but, you know, somebody had to do it, right?
Well, I was hiding from time to time.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It was usually from a local boy.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm going to say. So I was talking about Kahlua pig, and it's just a cool process because – you'd usually have your luaus on the beach somewhere.
Right. Well, thus a luau.
Or in a park.
Right.
Or in a park. And so they would dig a hole, throw a bunch of wood in it, burn it for hours and hours, and then put some rock in it, which was always lava rock. And then you would...
And the rock would get hot? Is that the purpose of the rock? You're not...
Yes. It picks up all the heat. And then you cover it with banana leaves. Because the banana trees have these big leaves, so you cover it with banana leaves.
Are those wet or are they dry?
You just pick them and throw them on there.
Okay.
So they're green.
Yep.
Then you would put your pig on that, and then you'd cover it with banana leaves again. Of course, that pig would be stuffed with vegetables, and you put a lot of salt on it. It's quite salty because it's a big pig, and it takes a lot of salt. And then you would cover it with banana leaves again. Then you'd throw burlap bags over it. And then you would cover it with dirt. And you'd leave it there for about a day.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's a slow cooker.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And then how do you know when it's done? They just...
In a day.
Yeah, right.
When the day is done.
Right, yeah.
You have a luau. So,
right.
So you're out there a day and a half in advance getting everything ready.
Right. Cook it overnight.
Very cool.
Well, it's not really cooked because you're kind of snuffing the fire out, but the heat is under there, buried by the banana leaves.
Which
and
is
the,
cooking it.
Right, right. Now, do they throw dirt over the banana or over the burlap, too?
Yep.
Okay, so it's truly buried.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Generally sand.
Right. Not dirty, though, because you got the banana leaves covering it.
Well, and you've got the burlap sacks.
Yeah.
You got...
Wonder, are those wet? I don't know why I'm thinking wet, but I just think keep stuff from burning, I guess,
don't know.
But...
I don't know.
Huh.
Anyway, so
when you
it's
when
incredibly
you,
good.
So they pull that out of the ground, and then they pull it like we would do a hog roast.
Yeah, so here. What you typically would do is put, like, some chicken wire underneath your banana leaves. So you had something
to grab and pick it out of
there. On that yeah. you could pull the pig out of. Otherwise, you're going to have a mess.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Makes sense.
And it's so good. And it's so hot when you pull it out, and the smell and – and then you've got all this other food, and you're in heaven. I mean, it's paradise.
Right, right.
Hawaii is it's just a beautiful place. So that's where I learned to eat sashimi and sushi and a bunch of things. But particular fan of sashimi. Now, when I typically had it, it was tuna.
Right.
We would go out and catch the tuna, and we would fillet one of them up, the first one typically, and have some soy sauce with us, and always a case of Olympia beer.
Right.
It was terrible stuff. It's all we could afford. And we, my boss, Louis was a Portuguese man and a civilian worker on base, and he would, it was his boat, he was a pro. He would just fillet it up, and, you know, he'd be handing out little fillets of sashimi, just beautiful, fresh. I mean, literally sometimes blood dripping from it.
Right.
It's that fresh.
Yeah.
And you dip it in some soy with some hot sauce in it. He'd make up his own little dip, and you dip it in there, and, oh,
now,
man.
Now, how thick were these fillets?
Thicker than what you get here.
Right, yeah, I'm thinking.
Because we had a big old
hunk of tuna.
Tuna just, right. You know, was flipping away.
But typically, it's pretty thin. I mean, not there, but, I mean, here that we get. Because there is.
To say typically, you know, it depends on where you are. If you're in a place that's going to charge you the proper amount, it's going to be thicker. Yeah. If you're in a place that's trying to say they have sashimi, it's going to be like paper.
Right.
And it's okay.
Yeah.
But tuna's a lot more readily available now. But I have had it with steelhead. Now, the Asian folks that I have encountered here that make it use our Chinook and steelhead. I prefer the steelhead.
Okay.
And that makes for an awesome sashimi. So you can actually, you know, if you're out catching steelhead right now, you can save a nice piece. And just watch a couple YouTube videos. You'll see which section of the fish is the best to use for it. And when you're talking about tuna, it's very specific as to the price and the grade, because there's all sorts of areas of that tuna that is better or not.
Yep.
But we didn't care. We just chopped them up and
had a belly to fill.
Tried to make it back to the shore.
You're right. Exactly.
So sashimi, and so a typical dip for that would be soy sauce and Tabasco.
Okay. Just
really typical.
Okay.
Or
no seasonings like salt or pepper.
No, no. The soy has a ton of salt in it. But there's a common Asian sauce, sriracha.
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 Yep.
I don't care for sriracha.
Yeah.
So that's the sashimi side. Steelhead works great. Chinook works great. Try some out of Lake Michigan.
Right.
You'll love it.
Right.
And that's a good Hawaiian meal. And sometimes, you know, people like to throw their own luau's or Hawaiian parties and middle of winter.
Yeah.
And all the guys get to wear their Hawaiian shirts because we all have some.
Right. Going over and getting hot tub, right? Pretend. Right. Yeah.
So that's a good potential for you there.
Right. That would be good. Well, hey, Bob, we're actually, as I mentioned, we're taping this show because we're going to be at the Ada Chili and Beer Festival, which is happening in downtown Ada, Michigan.
Today.
At a place called the Community Church, which is on Thornapple River Drive in Ada, Michigan. And you can't miss it. Ada's not that big. It's the biggest church right in the downtown area, right across the road from the big Amway factory that's there, and the world headquarters, rather. But anyway, there's 60 teams that are going to be there.
Is it 60 now?
60 now, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
There's 60 teams in two divisions. There's
how many brewers?
There's 24 brewers and 60 chili teams. And of those chili teams, there's two divisions. There's one that's a professional division, which are people that have restaurants and professional food licenses. And then there's an open division, which we're part of. And between the two, there's the judging is going to be done by the people that are there tasting chili. There's going to be an app, and you just vote on the app for the chili number that's yours. Every one of the booths is going to have its own number. And you can, you know, if you like that chili, you cast a vote for that one.
So what's the app?
I don't know the app that they have, but it's there. It's posted all over when you get there.
I'm just thinking it'd be easier to download it before you get there.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I don't have it off the top of my head.
And they're going to have liquor this year. There's a
distillery
there this year,
that's
too.
Right.
So if one of you doesn't happen to like beer, there's going to be some cocktails.
That's right. And I think they're also going to have Vandermeer cider there as well. So
They
got it covered. But just a great community event. I will caution you that the Santa Claus parade in downtown Ada ends at the chili cook-off, physically ends there. So there will be Ada's always a little bit of a challenge to park, but just come ahead a little early. Lots of places to park, but you might not be right on top of the event.
Yeah, you can park behind Gravel Bottom.
Right. Coming up next, we're going to talk about a little more of this Hawaiian food, maybe some kebabs and how to use hibachi. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
This is Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guy show.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We are taped from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. As if you just are tuning in, we just had a little discussion about the Ada chili and beer cook-off.
Boy, did we.
Yeah, that Barbecue Bob and I are in as we speak. We're elbow deep in a smoker getting our ingredients ready for our award-winning chili, hopefully for the third time. We've won this thing a couple times.
That's
so
right.
We're trying to go back for round three. But
well,
The
last time we were in it, our chili was okay, but let's just say we weren't happy with it, and
right.
And we didn't even
nor
score.
Were the voters.
No. Well, there was a screw up there, and I'll have to take the blame
whatever
for it.
Happened.
But I would say this: if you're going to come out, make sure you stop us and tell us that you came out because you heard the show, because we'd love to meet you. We
right.
love meeting people that listen to the show, and that's why one of the big reasons we do it. It's
right.
not because this is making us millions of dollars.
Right, yeah. These are fragile egos. Help us out, would you?
Yeah. Yeah, good time for a selfie.
Right.
Teriyaki kebabs, Jop. When you're in Hawaii, if there's one thing you're going to have, it's going to be a chicken teriyaki kebab.
Okay.
And they're so easy to make, it's ridiculous. And you've made them before, I'm sure, but Jop is a big fan of buying the Lowry's marinades, and I would tell you, in this case, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
They
right.
also have a Hawaiian blend.
No, they do. Yep. It's got a little pineapple flavor to it with some teriyaki in it. Yeah.
So just get the skinless, boneless chicken thighs and use those for your kebabs.
Why thighs, not breast?
Because they've got some fat on them, and they don't stick to your grill so much. You're already going to have a marinade on it that's got sugar in it. So you want some small pieces of meat that are not going to get black because you have to cook them so long. Now, another thing you can do is not marinate it, and you can just baste it on right as it finishes.
Right.
But it's really nice to throw some pineapple in with those.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes a wonderful flavor combination. And, of course, a lot of pineapple is grown in Hawaii.
Right.
The best pineapple.
I got to throw in a tip here. When you're making kebabs, especially with chicken, is do your best to cut the chicken all the same size.
Yes.
Because if you got big pieces and little pieces, you got different cooking time. The little ones are going to be
uncooked.
Right.
Yep.
And you don't want to do that. Cut them as close as you can to the same size. You'll get a much better result. And you know what? The marinating or basting, I'm 50-50. On it, the basting is active cooking. The marinating is set it down and close the lid and let them, maybe turn them once.
Right.
But the basting, you're gonna, get a little bit longer brush because you usually have pretty hot grill when you're using kebabs.
So I would say this: if you want to marinate them a bit, you can make up a simple marinade and leave the sugar out,
mm-hmm.
and then you won't have the scoring problem. And then use your other sweetened version to glaze it and finish it.
Yeah.
And then you'll have good flavor penetration.
Right. And when you're marinating it, don't do it on the skewer, obviously. Cut your chicken into little pieces as uniform as you can. Again, throw them in a Ziploc and put your marinade in there an hour.
At least.
Because
the thigh meat's pretty fatty, and it's not going to – chicken, I find breast meat absorbs, but the dark meat doesn't absorb so fast on a chicken. And
right.
The thigh's kind of a mix. It's a perfect piece.
Right.
I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about it. But as we speak – we've probably already been sampling a sirloin from our chili, so
yeah,
and probably already had a libation.
Yeah,
maybe a bloody.
Right. Yeah. We don't do that. Cooks aren't allowed to do that in the kitchen, are they?
So,
might be why we're there.
When I learned to do this, again, we were very often having some kind of a party, and we were very often at the beach, and everybody brought all their stuff, and I was always one of the single guys because I had a lot of friends that were married. And which was always like, you know, I was carrying everything, basically, that meant. But one of the things I always had to carry was my hibachi. And I think one of my buddies that was shipping out, transferring station, gave it to me when he went back to the mainland. And so it was already well seasoned, but the ones we used back then were all made in Taiwan.
Okay.
And a hibachi is like a rectangular little cast iron grill, and I mean about all of them came from Taiwan. I never saw anyone that didn't say Taiwan.
Well, it was almost a local buy for you when you're in Hawaii.
It was. But the Air Force guys all came back from Taiwan. I mean, we had a lot of duty over there, and so they brought that stuff back, and that's what made it popular around different parts of the country, just like the Big Green Egg. Those used to be a clay grill that they brought back from Taiwan.
Right.
And then the guy that started Big Green Egg got onto the ceramic and yada yada. Well, anyway, the hibachi is just this cool little cast iron grill, and it had these forks on the back, and you'd take the grate off and slide it into just like the grill in the state park.
Right.
That looks exactly like a hibachi.
Right, just a little bit bigger version.
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe about the same.
Because the fire bed stays stationary, and you move your grates up the ladder, if you will, that's on the back of the...
So it's an adjustable rack.
Right.
You have to have gloves. You need to have some mitts because it doesn't have the big old safety handles like the one in the park does.
Right, yeah.
It's just a little bitty piece of steel sticking out.
Right, yeah.
But I don't know. There's something about using that apparatus and then, of course, being in a beautiful tropical place, it didn't matter what you threw on that. Very often we were throwing fish on it.
Sure.
My buddy's wife used to make us spam, and she would throw that on there, and she would have a glaze ready.
You make spam. Don't you just open the can and wipe off the gelatinous junk and then cut it?
Okay. So she would take that stuff out, and she would throw it on the grill and grill it on both sides and put it in a brew of, I'm saying it was like mustard, soy, and brown sugar, just from memory. Because I asked her once, DJ, how do you make this? I'm telling you, it was so good. You'd never know it was spam when you got done with it. It was just this beautiful sausage thing in this sweet gravy that you would be picking on.
So you said, what did you say, mustard,
I think it was like mustard, brown sugar, and soy.
Oh, so you had the sweet, the salty, and even a little tangy with the mustard.
Yep.
That would be good.
Yep. Yeah. And by the time you grill, because basically spam is made out of pork picnic. So the picnic is the lower portion of a pork butt, right? That's the
shank.
The bicep of the hog's front arm or leg.
Right.
It's bicep as a picnic. It's a mixture of darker and lighter meat, so it's not as desirable. If you buy it in the supermarket, it's always half the price of ham.
Right.
Right?
Ham's off the back end. The picnics are off the front.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
The ham is the
I do know that, but I'm not sure if the picnics are front or back. I just know it's below the big white muscle.
Right.
That's a good question for Tim Sobey.
Right.
But so spam is nothing but ground up picnic.
Right.
And when I was a kid, we were poor folks. Very often my mother would buy picnics because she had six kids to feed. And
sure.
My dad worked for the state of Michigan.
Right. Went a long way.
Before it was a good job.
Right.
That's why we got the government milk and cheese.
Right. But hibachi, you know, as we approach the holiday season here, one of these next week or two, we're going to be doing gifts for the griller. That's an annual show that we do. But hibachi would be a great gift. You can find them online anywhere. Some of your hardware stores.
Lodge.
Yep.
You can buy it online from our favorite cast iron company, Lodge.
Right.
Theirs is cool as heck.
Right.
And matter of fact, it's the only one I would buy.
Right. Yep. And it's a great gift. You used to have
one. Would you use one if you had one?
I don't have one. So
you don't
that's
know.
Just what I need. That'd be grill number 8 in my repertoire, and I'm not sure. But
and I swore I'd never give you another grill, so forget
right,
it.
Right, right. Well, hey, you still got time to buy it for me, Bob. They'll ship it to you, I'm sure. Coming up next, whatever Loamy Loamy is, and we're going to talk a little deep-fried fish. Stick with us. We'll be back. This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We are recording from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios this week. Barbecue Bob and I, if you're just tuning in, are currently on Saturday morning anyway, if that's when you're listening, we're in the Ada Chili and Beer Festival. And we're brewing up our award-winning chili. We've got friends from a lot of the breweries around West Michigan that'll brewing up beer, but we're going to be doing chili. Come down and see us. It's in Ada, Michigan at the community church. We're there from 11 to 4. Come on in, enjoy some chili, and make sure you stop by and say hi to us because we'd love to meet you if you're hearing this and you got time to get down there.
But, I talked to Schmoes. I talked to Lori Monday.
Okay.
And I asked her if she was bringing her Scotch ale.
Yes.
She said no.
Oh, really?
I said, well, that's a mistake.
Right.
You got a chance for thousands of people to try your Scotch ale.
Right.
That stuff is crazy. Yep. Off the hook.
Yeah,
great.
Gabby has that down. That
oh my
one's
God.
Dialed in.
That's
you're right.
The,
she was with us
Scotch
a couple
ale
weeks
I've
ago.
Ever
yeah.
Had.
Yeah. Yep, she was with us last week, I think. But anyway, we're it's Pearl Harbor Day, Saturday the 7th of December, and we've been talking a little bit about Bob's history with being in Hawaii in the Air Force for 4 years and talking about some of the food you ate over there in honor of Pearl Harbor, which everybody knows is in Hawaii.
Yeah, and the folks over there, if you've never been to Hawaii, you should go. It's not as expensive as you might think. There's ways to do it for a halfway reasonable price, but you're going to spend some money. But it's one of our 50 states, and
right.
It is gorgeous.
Right.
And if you get out to the outer islands, you'll meet some really nice people. Even on Oahu, when you get out away from Honolulu, you'll meet some
Well,
some
there's
really
good
nice
people in Honolulu. It's just a big city.
Yeah.
You know, it's hustle and bustle.
Yeah. And it's pretty much been taken over by Haoles,
yep.
Round eyes like us.
Yep.
So it's not as Hawaiian as it used to be. But you're going to notice that they sound a little bit like Youpers. They speak pidgin. We call it, and, you know, it's Pigeon is, well, you know, they talk like that, you know. No, I'm mixing my Youper, and I'm sorry. It's been too long. Anyway, Loamy Loamy salmon was one of the first really weird foods I had there. And I remember being at a banquet room hotel somewhere for some kind of event, like a wedding. And And this friend of mine was explaining what it was because they brought this little bowl of it as an appetizer. And you typically, sometimes they put it in lettuce, but sometimes it's in like a banana leaf or something really decorative and green and pretty. I'm remembering banana leaves, but it's basically small little cubes of salmon. And that you take the salmon, if you're just using your fresh salmon, you remove the bones and skin, and then I would dice it into cubes if it was me, real small cubes, and then add tomatoes and blend it together with chopped green onion. But if you're using unsalted salmon, before you do that, wash the fish and generously rub it with sea salt on both sides. Wrap it tightly and let it stay in the fridge overnight. That's how you get salted salmon.
Okay.
So,
and you're not going to have a big piece of it, are you?
Oh, no. You're going to have little bitty cubes of it and little bitty cubes of a seeded tomato. So you're only getting kind of the outer part of the
flesh,
tomato.
Right?
Yep. Not the placental part of it.
So, once a month, he has to say that word.
At least. Hey, there's a baby being born right now.
Yeah.
And then green onion. Salt, salmon, tomato, green onion. Sounds really simple, but I'm telling you.
No sauce on it of any kind or anything?
You know, I don't recall ever having any sauce on it. And the recipes I found online, none of them said that. So I'm going to say
so
no.
It's skinless, boneless salmon, right? Obviously, because
yep,
you're
salted.
Getting a little cube on there.
Salted.
And you salted it. You left it in the salt overnight because that salts it, if you will. You get salted salmon. Cut it up. Easy enough. And
Lomi.
Yeah, really cool.
It's good. And that's something nice, again, if you're wanting to play and, you know, like throw your own little luau at your house, you can do Kahlua pig in a crock pot.
Yeah.
You literally can. You don't have to dig a hole in your backyard. You can do it with a quarter of a cow, a quarter of a pig or whatever you've got. Go buy a pork shoulder and a picnic, whatever you want to throw in there.
Yeah.
Just kind of have fun because it's that time of year when it gets dark early in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that if you're going to have a party, it's indoors, and it's dark out by 5, so you can start your party early.
Right.
And yeah. A Hawaiian theme maybe January or February when you're starting to get depressed.
Right.
And feeling like Michigan really sucks in the winter.
Right. Yeah, but you know, you can still grill year-round. And you know, if you've got a man card, we would clip it if you put your grill away for the winter, so it's time for some man law.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A manny, manny, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man!
Today's man law. All men have the right to remain silent. This should be exercised in the following situations. Does it make me look fat? There's a right to remain silent.
No win answer on that one, guys.
No.
No matter what you say.
This one's worse, though. Do you think my best friend is pretty?
You can't say er. You can't say pretty. She's allowed to be pretty, but she can't be prettier.
I think a good answer is she's aight.
Yeah. Not nearly as pretty as you, honey.
That's right. And this one is another good one. Do you know how fast you were going?
Sometimes it's no, sometimes it's yeah. You were in a hurry.
I haven't been asked that in a long time.
Oh, man.
I'm going to keep it that way.
Well,
Jop did
keep
some...
your eyes on the road. Keep your eyes on the road. Right?
Speaking of so Rob Russell.
Rumble
so we were at Alan Bob's Thursday night, and Jop did his wonderful job of deep frying fish. Walleye is my favorite to do this with, and I'll be doing that tomorrow, actually. I'm going to have my brother over. His birthday's on Monday, so we're going to have cigars in my heated garage.
Nice.
And that walleye you gave me, I'm going to be frying it up.
Good.
So I'll be paying close attention to what you did there.
Well, this is easy. And if you've listened to the show for a while, you know there's a charter captain on the east side of the state named Jira, J-I-R-E-H. You can connect with them on our website. But Captain Ken Glupker, West Michigan guy, moved over there when he retired. And Captain Ken taught me how to cook this fish.
Old Rockford construction guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So basically what you do is let's use walleye because you're right, it's really good. Okay, it doesn't really matter.
Walleye or perch.
Right, right. You want a skinless, boneless filet, okay?
Yep.
But if you use walleye, now there is it's a cornmeal-based mix, and this is just like seasonings. If you find something that's really good, you don't have to try to make your own. Buy the one that's good, and it's called Andes, A-N-D-E-S.
Love the one you're with? Is that what
right,
you said?
Right, yeah. And it comes in a little pouch of like a pounder. I bought a couple five-pounders for when we were at Alan Bob's because
okay.
You go through it, right?
Good.
But my point is that you need this fish thawed, and then you want it cold, and like just put it right in ice-cold water.
Sorry, time out.
Yeah.
Where did you find this?
What?
Andes?
Oh, it's anywhere. It's at the big box stores.
Okay.
It's at
okay.
Meijer. Sobey Meats carries it.
A-N-D-E-S. Like
the
mints.
Yeah, right. And it's a little, it comes in a regular,
like
a Cajun,
bag,
a red.
Yeah.
There's three or four flavors.
Okay.
But anyway, I like the one that says red. It's got just a little spice to it. You don't need to add anything to it. But the fish is ice cold. It's soaking in an ice bath of water. You pull it out, and I've got a little shaker that separates the fish from the batter. It's like
right.
two sides of a Tupperware with a
right.
liner between it. You put the fish in there, the batter's on below, and then you turn it over, shake it, turn it back over, shake it, and then pull your fish out.
So if you don't have that, you can just put it in your hand, sprinkle some on, flip it over, sprinkle some
yeah,
on.
Yeah, it's messy, but
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. This thing, is, I don't know, it's a Tupperware thing or whatever, it's like
right.
$12.
Sure.
No big deal. But so you shake this stuff up, then your oil's 350, maybe even like 365. Because when you drop these ice-cold fillets in there that got the batter on them, you're going to drop your oil temperature, and you want it to cook at 350. But the point is, this cold fish with the batter on it makes that, for whatever reason, that batter gets crispier. I'm not doing an egg wash. It's just the dampness of the fish with the cornmeal-based breading on it.
So would you say never go above 375 maybe?
Yeah, I mean, it all depends what kind of oil you're doing. We use a creamy fry oil. It's available at... we get it at Gordon Foods, right? But anyway, this is what Captain Ken told me to get. And it
creamy fry oil.
Right, because when you pour it in the pan before it gets hot, it's milky.
Yeah.
It's milky colored, but then when it gets hot, it clarifies.
Nice.
Okay, but it's just got a great flavor. Doesn't over-oil the fish. Pull them out of there. Put a little salt on them if you like salt, regular salt.
This is dash, lemon pepper,
whatever you like
yep.
on there. But I'm telling you, this Andes batter is good just by itself. So... it's not a secret. It's a simple little process, but have your oil hot and your fish cold.
And technically, it's not a batter, right?
Right.
It's a dry mix.
Right. Yes,
okay.
Exactly. There's nothing wet about it. Yep.
Okay.
Oil
except,
hot,
except
fish
my
cold.
My taste buds right now,
right,
they're
man.
Dripping.
It's good.
I can't wait.
Right. But coming up next.
So if you want to do Hawaiian fish,
right.
use this method,
right.
and nobody will know it's not Hawaiian.
That's right. Coming up next, Bob's going to send out the SOS. Stick with us. We'll be back.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We are recording from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios. Barbecue Bob and I are currently elbow deep in the smoker, getting our chili ready for this Ada chili cook-off. But Barbecue Bob, one last thing about Hawaii. We're honoring Pearl Harbor Day,
yep,
and
right.
You've got one more recipe.
Right. And before I do that, I want to thank our producer, Mr. Brian Fonger, the Wizard of the Big Board, for playing Little Leon Russell.
right?
Back to the Islands, that song I became very fond of while living there, and it just always reminds me of the Islands. But any GI worth his salt, or at least old enough, had to have SOS, and it stands for something on a shingle.
Right.
And it's very often was chipped beef because the government shipped out canned beef, and it was one way to get a use for it if you were getting sea rats, which were rations. Your food came in cans. Everything was canned.
Right.
The guys think their food's bad now. Yeah, you should have had sea rats.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it was worse in Vietnam and World War II.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it's basically SOS on a shingle, shite on a shingle, and you serve it over toast. It's just meat and gravy.
Right.
And you serve it over toast. Here's a recipe that you'll actually love. It's not the gross stuff that some of us used to eat. But you take a couple pounds of ground beef. I like to use ground beef and ground sausage. Now, I'll get a breakfast sausage from Sobey, or I'll go up to Mount Pleasant every week, and I'll get some from Smith & Sons, who does my beef work. And they have a breakfast sausage that's amazing. And I'll combine the two, brown them, put in some chopped onion, drain off the grease. Then I'm going to put in some beef stock, Worcestershire sauce, some garlic, and then a little flour or corn stock to let it thicken, some milk. I'll put the recipe on the website. But it is beautiful. If you make this for anybody, triple your recipe because they're going to eat so much of it.
So Bob, what kind of meat? It's
ground beef
it's
and ground, pork sausage.
Okay, because when I had it, it was shaved.
Beef. It was chipped beef.
Yeah, like little foot. Yep. Because I grew up with this stuff because my dad was World War II, right?
Yep.
And I'm sure he learned to love it there.
Right.
And we would have it, and it was usually a meal that we all requested that Mom did once in a while. But
right.
I can't recall where I would find shaved beef. I mean, you get Italian beef.
Sobey will sell it to you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But
there
it's
are
raw.
Places. No. It's a smoked piece of, it's cured and baked or smoked.
Okay.
Sometimes they call it a knuckle of beef. See how I'm missing this skin right here? It's a scar.
Right.
I used to shave knuckles of beef when I was in college for Vandenbrink's.
Okay.
And I was daydreaming one day and got too close
got
to
a little,
that blade. I had to get rushed to the hospital. When I got back, the order I was shaving was packed up and shipped out with my hand in it.
Yeah.
Make sure that you save 30 seconds at the end of the show, Brian, so we can play the end of Back to the Islands by Leon Russell.
Right.
Chop, you want to wrap it up?
Yeah. Hey, come on down and join us in Ada, Michigan today. We're doing a chili cook-off. We'd love to have you stop by and see us. It's at the Community Church in downtown Ada. You can't miss it. You get to Ada, ask somebody where the Chili Cook-Off and Beer Festival is. They'll point you right to it. Giant tent right on Headley Street. You can't miss it. But anyway, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. If you're doing your holiday shopping, always get something for the griller in your life. And in the next week or two, we'll be helping you out with that as well. So we appreciate you tuning in.
At ease.